Most decades have no moments. The 60s, you might say, had four. Four blowout, everything stopped moments. Four moments where, if you lived through the decade, you probably know where you were when the Beatles landed in the USA. When JFK was assassinated.
From Dallas, Texas, the flash, apparently official.
When Neil Armstrong walked on the moon.
That's one small step for man.
And during the Cuban Missile Crisis, which is a half century old this month.
Unmistakable evidence has established the fact that a series of offensive missile sites is now in preparation.
There are numerous books and movies about how world leaders coped with that 13-day nuclear crisis. Almost nothing has looked at what happened to the people who watched and lived through it, which is what makes the episode of the series Mad Men, called Meditations in an Emergency, so remarkable.
The Soviets fired on us, or we fired on them or something. Fix it!
I came in to get away from this speculation.
Damn it! You see what you did?
I hope the Soviets got a guy like you to build those missiles.
Everyone's looking at each other in the street.
I'm looking at you because you've got Castro's beard.
This episode concluded the second season of the AMC series. And for Matthew Weiner, the creator of Mad Men, who co-wrote and directed the episode, it was an opportunity to raise the tension for his characters and explore some real social history about the 60s.
Well, I felt, looking at the year, that if the assassination had not happened the next year, this was the seminal event of that generation. The interesting thing is, when you go into history, the way we do the show is we're trying to capture the impact on the average life of an average person. And, of course, the events of your life are more important. That's sort of one of the theses of the show, is that, you know, whatever's going on in your life is still more important than history. And we kept talking about, well, then the Russians did this, and then the White House did this, and Kennedy called in his brother, and blah, blah, blah. And you're like, keep going back and saying, what do the public know? I'm sure it was horrible to be in the White House and experience it, but the idea for me was, this is the beginning of a kind of reaction that takes place to powerlessness, to cultural and social powerlessness, and that all the rules are off. No one quits smoking that week. No one buys any green bananas. And people start to have almost a kind of nihilistic reaction or panicked reaction to the end of civilized life.
You know, it's so true. We're talking with Matthew Weiner, creator of Mad Men, who co-wrote and directed this episode, Meditations in an Emergency. That's really the backdrop is the Cuban Missile Crisis back in 1962, the 50th anniversary. We're commemorating, celebrating, I don't know what you would call it, this year. You know, for me, I lived through it as a little kid. And as I watched this episode, I mean, it was completely ratcheting up for me, this sense of crisis in the background, questions of, well, should we go home? All of it
right.
comes back so vividly.
And Cuba basically is the United States. I mean, it's so close.
Oh, yeah.
It had been a vacation destination very, very recently. People had been there. It was literally like something was going to happen in Florida. The Russians were in Florida, our greatest, most feared enemy. And what I really wanted to show was like, okay, so what's going to happen if an atomic bomb explodes on the East Coast? Nothing. So what is the meaning of your life at that point? And I used it as a jumping off point to say, Don, a survivor in a crisis, is trying to resolve his relationship in the best way possible. His business is up for grabs in a very strange way. And, of course, business goes on as usual. That's one of the themes of the show, too, is that Americans in particular always respond to crises by going to work.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about us, but it's what we do. And then Betty Draper, who has to face the fact that she's pregnant with a baby that she doesn't want, and there are no rules. And a lot of confession takes place. A lot of deathbed confession takes place.
How did you decide or conclude who would do what? Because there are certain characters in this episode who this moment of there will be no tomorrow produces heroic kind of stepping up.
Well, you know, it's a conclusion of a season of stories. So that's part of what you're seeing as an opportunity for people who never talk to each other about what they're supposed to talk to, who never act on it, to act on it. So I do think what Betty does is brave. I think that Betty Draper has probably only been with one man her entire life, and she is pregnant, so there is no risk, and she is drunk, and she drops her kids off, and she is alone again for the first time, maybe in 10 years. She is a single person, and she has this, you know, illicit romance in the back of a bar, and I think that it was, for her, a transformational experience that allowed her to go back to her husband. Peggy's story was really about an opportunity. You know, Pete makes this confession to her that he loves her. He's been falling in love with her the entire year.
Can I tell you the truth?
Why wouldn't you?
You make it so hard.
What are you talking about?
You. I've been thinking about everything that's going on. And I thought, who would care if I was gone? I mean, Trudy would care, but she doesn't know me. But you do.
And Peggy has had his child out of wedlock, given it away, and dealing with the guilt of that, and has this priest who knows about her secret on some level and needs her to confess and wants her to take communion because he's worried about her soul in a very serious way.
All that God wants is for you to reconcile with him. Don't you understand that this could be the end of the world and you could go to hell?
I can't believe that's the way God is.
And for her to sort of step back and think about what love is, what God is, what religion means to her, how she wants to live, even if it's her last few minutes. When you have a show like this where there's no gunfire and no kidnappings, you have to really look for what are the stakes.
And just having that soundtrack of the Kennedy talk and the news audio in the background is really what is the equivalent of gunfire and kidnappings. It really raises the stakes. Even that beauty shop scene, the stakes couldn't be
higher.
Oh,
that's one of my favorite things in there. And there is this feeling about how many John Cheever stories, you know, or Twilight Zones about who gets to go in the bomb shelter. And here it was. Some people had them and some people didn't. And it was really up for discussion.
I think she's being smug because she has a bomb shelter.
Really?
I prefer you stop talking about this. You're upsetting my daughter.
Well, the time says you should tell your children the truth. I wish we had a shelter so I could slam the door in her face.
Is the negotiations about the merger, is that the Cold War?
The business stories are sort of drawn from business at the time and my experiences in business. And the part that really where they intersected and when Pete comes and warns Don about the merger happening, which he doesn't have to do, he takes sides.
You know, they stopped a ship this morning. I bet the Russians are reconsidering now that we made a stand.
And what you get is you're going to be in a standoff, but you should hold your ground. And that to me was that is the Cold War.
So thinking back, the 50-year anniversary of this event,
it's incredible.
How do you think about it?
I think about it as a I can't believe it was 50 years ago because I think we still live in its shadow. I look at the control the government had over the information and how they reluctantly released it and think about what we know and what we don't know. And now it feels like we know everything all the time. And I kind of, like some child who can't go to sleep at night, wish we didn't. I think that the United States had the sense of leadership and understanding of this enemy was much more comfortable. It's just hard to believe how different the country is now. And it's a reminder of how vulnerable we always are.
Matthew Weiner, creator of Mad Men, who co-wrote and directed the episode Meditations in an Emergency, which has as its backdrop in 1962, the Cuban Missile Crisis. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, John.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.